For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. An inmate sues over prison food. Policymakers debate whether new Virginia laws encouraging teaching colleges to produce teachers in 4 years instead of 5 or 6 are actually a good idea. And is gambling money making its way into Virginia schools? This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, March 23rd.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A federal district court judge has dismissed a racial discrimination lawsuit against an Albemarle County police officer, saying that evidence presented did not meet the tough requirements set out by federal law. The Daily Progress reports that the decision by Judge Norman K. Moon came yesterday at the end of testimony and after a motion to dismiss made by the attorney for police officer Andrew Holmes. Moon ruled that statistics showing Holmes made more traffic stops and wrote more tickets to African Americans than the percentage of the county's population, and testimony from several African Americans that Holmes pulled them over repeatedly and looked for excuses to search their vehicles for drugs, was not enough proof to send the case to the jury. Moon based his ruling on federal decisions in other cases that would require, in this case, evidence showing white people were treated differently than African Americans. The judge called the requirement, quote, nearly impossible to meet, but said without the evidence, he had no choice but to dismiss the case. Also, an Amherst County woman who said her husband was cheating on her has pleaded guilty to trying to murder him by driving over him with a minivan. Angel Cruz pleaded guilty in Amherst County Circuit Court to attempted second-degree murder and other charges. Law enforcement officials said Cruz struck and drove over her husband, Tyler Connolly, with a minivan in a shopping center parking lot in November. The News in Advance reports that Deputy Commonwealth's Attorney Stephen Eubank said several people, including Cruz's small child, were in the van at the time. Connolly suffered multiple injuries and was airlifted to a hospital. Eubank said Cruz told witnesses at the scene that she hit her husband with the van because she believed he had cheated on her. Virginia has about 30,000 people in its prisons, most of them men, and for each one, it spends $2.10 a day on food. Now, one inmate is suing, alleging the daily diet puts him at risk for obesity, cancer, and many chronic conditions. The state says it's a security risk to allow recording an interview in person, so Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman spoke with the plaintiff by phone and filed this report.
Joshua Wood has been in prison for 11 years. He was convicted of murder when he was 20, but hopes to someday be paroled. That's why he's trying to stay healthy. But he says it isn't easy, given the food prisoners are fed. He's sent away for literature from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Food and Drug Administration, then concluded the prison diet was too high in processed meat.
Which is meat that has been either smoked, salted, or cured, or has some kind of preservative added to it. In those type of meats, the World Health Organization has considered carcinogens.
He also points to an abundance of processed grains.
When you just calculate the amount of bread items alone, you're getting twice the recommended daily amount as outlined by the USDA in their dietary guidelines at breakfast every morning.
So Wood is suing the state in federal court, asking prison kitchens to stop serving processed meat, to stop counting juice as an acceptable alternative to fruit, to share recipes and ingredient labels with inmates, and to conform to the USDA's dietary guidelines. The state has asked to have the case dismissed, saying there's no evidence Wood has suffered physical harm and he's not forced to eat the food served to him. It cites an appeals court ruling that the Constitution does not guarantee a pleasant culinary experience for prisoners. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Money from gambling may be making its way into the classrooms, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains.
When Virginia voters approved the lottery back in 1987, the idea was that all that money would go to schools, and that is what happened, but that's not all that happened. Since that time, state leaders have been supplanting money from the general fund that was supposed to go to education to other programs. Kathy Bircher at the Virginia Education Association says that's a shell game.
The general public believes that the lottery funding is icing on the cake, and when in fact what it is the cake. And so when the General Assembly is shifting programs into lottery funding that they should be funding through the general fund, and that's supplanting of dollars. It's not additional dollars.
This week, Governor Ralph Northam submitted a budget that supplants $80 million, following the lead of former Governor Terry McAuliffe. But Chris Duncombe at the Commonwealth Institute says the House budget is much better because it returns about $64 million to the general fund for education.
And I really think that is how the lottery fund dollars were intended to be used, as a way of maximizing our investment in K-12 schools rather than just as some sort of budgetary tool for moving money around.
Also at issue is a 2% raise for teachers. Northam's budget and the House budget both include raises for teachers, but the Senate budget does not. That means those budget negotiations in Richmond will have dramatic consequences for schools across Virginia. I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia is facing a critical shortage of teachers. Lawmakers in Richmond are trying to tackle that problem. They passed several measures this year, making it easier to get and keep a teaching license. As part of that push, they're also urging colleges and universities to create four-year teaching programs instead of the traditional 5 or 6 years. But as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory No Pain reports, not everyone thinks that's the best solution.
These future teachers have already spent a busy day student teaching. This evening, they're in a class of their own, practicing new lesson plans.
All right, guys, return to your groups.
Chris DeMatteo and Una Krebs are worried. Lower expectations for teachers will mean less respect.
It's not just the 7 hours of school day. It's the after-school programs. It's the 20 hours a week of lesson planning and unit planning and grading. We need to be treated like professionals. It's a societal issue.
We're seen as glorified babysitters when in the reality, a babysitter gets paid more than us an hour.
In Virginia, the average starting salary for a teacher is about $39,000. Over at the state capitol, lawmakers like Senator Barbara Favola agree teachers should make more.
Teaching is such an important profession. We've got to value it, and we've got to send the message that, you know, we absolutely want our best and brightest.
But lawmakers haven't decided yet if a 2% raise for teachers will make it into the state budget. They have decided they want teacher training to be shorter.
We want this taken seriously, and we want the four-year option promoted.
A new law directs the Department of Education to create guidelines for four-year teaching programs. Some colleges in Virginia already have them, but lawmakers want more.
Folks who want to teach in elementary school or middle school where there's not as heavy a content requirement could really get through in 4 years, have their teacher practicum in 4 years, and be ready to go into the classroom.
Senator Mark Peake says it's important not to discourage people who want to teach but don't have the educational requirements, especially in tough-to-fill jobs in rural parts of the state.
When they know the subject backwards and forwards and know how to teach it, and the kids love them, and the principals know it, and the superintendents know it, if they want them, let them have them.
Okay, so first of all, we have a real teacher shortage in the state of Virginia. It's a real problem.
Gabriel Rich teaches teachers at VCU School of Education. He says the teacher shortage isn't because it's too difficult to become a teacher. It's because we don't pay teachers enough or treat them like professionals.
We've divested from schools. We have deprofessionalized teaching, and we haven't kept up teachers' wages with inflation. All those three things are leading to teachers leaving the classroom.
Rich fears making it easier to become a teacher will actually make those problems worse. He predicts that in a shorter degree program, the first thing dropped will be content knowledge.
If teachers have less background in their content, there are less authorities. And basically what it's saying is anyone can teach. What does that say to our children? If we're saying anyone can teach them and how important they are and how important an investment in, you know, our future is.
In addition to promoting four-year programs, lawmakers have also removed some of the requirements of a teaching license and given localities more flexibility in extending provisional licenses. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.